Welcome, everybody, to our weekly time that we come together to remember, and actually we're going to be doing some reading about how remembering is another way of forgetting. And so thank you all for coming to this time together to remember and forget, forget what the ego has taught us. So we are going to begin with our moment of silence as we usually do. So if you're in a place that's conducive to closing your eyes, certainly not if you're driving, just allowing the eyes to close and turning within. And being willing to connect with the Holy Spirit in you. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. We need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. Again, thank you all for being with us. Those of you who are here, those of you who are here and on mute, and those of you who are listening in at a later point in time. We will be reading from the Sparkle Edition. That's the version that I'm reading from, and I'll give all the corresponding places in the other editions. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, it's page 150, and we're at the very bottom. The second to last line, it begins, all abilities then should be given over to the Holy Spirit. So Sparkle Edition, page 150. In the original edition, it is chapter 7, section 5, and paragraph 35. So if you have the hard copy of the original edition, it's page 128. Again, it's paragraph number 35 in chapter 7. And finally, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, if you have that, we're in chapter 7, part 4, paragraph 4. If you have the hard copy of the book, it's page 118. All abilities should therefore be given over to the Holy Spirit. So that's where we're beginning. And just to really briefly recap what we've been reading. We've been reading the section, it's called The Recognition of Truth, and we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit, I'm looking at one of the lines in the previous paragraph, the Holy Spirit works through us to teach us that He is in us. And what I just referenced at the very start of the call, one of the lines that is just popping out at me in that preceding paragraph to what we'll be reading, forgetting is merely a way of remembering better. So this is all about, again, choosing to forget what the ego has taught us and instead learning how to remember that the Holy Spirit is in us, that the voice of the Holy Spirit is in us always. So here we go. All abilities then should be given over to the Holy Spirit, who knows how to use them properly. He can use them only for healing because he knows you only as whole. By healing, you learn of wholeness. And by learning of wholeness, you learn to remember God. You have forgotten Him, but the Holy Spirit still knows that your forgetting must be translated into a way of remembering and not perceived as a separate ability which opposes an opposite. That is the way in which the ego tries to use all abilities, since its goal is always to make you believe that you are in opposition. So just like any, I'm just going to pause here, and I would love to just hear your thoughts or questions or comments if anybody has any. But just like any defense that the course talks about that we have made, like denial or repression, any defense that we've made, the Holy Spirit can also use if we give that defense over to the Holy Spirit. Even if you think about forgetting, you know, some it makes me think of I can think of at least one person in my life who I've thought has this sort of selective memory, you know, only remembering things that they want to remember and forgetting, you know, what's perhaps not convenient for them to remember. And the Holy Spirit is instead using our forgetting again to help us forget what the ego is telling us, what the ego has taught us. And so this is then translated into a way of remembering truth, remembering our wholeness, our innocence. So I'll just pause there and see if anybody wants to chime in with anything.
I think that went over my head.
That's okay.
Could you kind of recap that again?
Sure. So the whole remembering and forgetting thing.
Yeah.
So we've taught ourselves something very unnatural, and that is that we are a body, that you are Paula, that, you know, that we are these limited personalities in these bodies, and we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the Holy Spirit. We've forgotten truth, the truth of what we
Got
are.
yeah. That I got that.
Yes. Good, 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 good. And so the Holy Spirit then is reinterpreting our forgetting into a way of remembering, meaning that it can be, we can, just as we have forgotten God, we can forget the ego. And so rather than forgetting being the opposite of remembering, the Holy Spirit is using our forgetting, you know, our ability to forget to help us forget the ego and thus remember God, remember truth instead. So it's actually forgetting, the Holy Spirit's forgetting, you know, helping us forget the ego is actually steps towards remembering truth. So they're not opposites. One is forgetting is actually helping us remember. Does that help?
Oh, does our willingness have to be a part of that?
I think always, yeah. I think always, because if we're not, you know, if we're not willing, you know, the Holy Spirit, God, does not interfere with what it is that we want. So if we're unwilling to remember truth, we're not going to remember, although the Course says we can't completely block it out. We can try, but we can't completely block out
Yeah,
that spark
I think
within
that
all of
does
us.
make sense, because any time I've had success calling the Holy Spirit into any situation, the success comes for me when I realize, oh, I don't know what's going on. I got to forget everything. I have to let everything go and let Him, let the Holy Spirit do it through me.
Yeah,
Because
yeah.
any, and that's the willingness.
That is the willingness. It's the
Because
willingness
any
to forget your
resistance
own
to that,
agenda.
yeah, when you think you know, when you think you've got the outcome, how you want it to be, all that, forget it.
Yep. Forget about it. That's absolutely right. It's really a place of power to dwell in that space of I don't know. It's such a relief too, isn't it? When we
God,
embrace that.
it's such
Oh,
a
I experience.
weight off.
Yes, it is a way off. It is a way off. So let's go for the next paragraph. The ego's goal is as unified as the Holy Spirit's, and it is because of this that their goals can never be reconciled in any way or to any extent. The ego always seeks to divide and separate. The Holy Spirit always seeks to unify and heal. As you heal, you are healed because the Holy Spirit sees no order of healing. Healing is the way to undo the belief in differences, healing is the way to undo the belief in differences, being the only way of perceiving the sonship without this belief. This perception is therefore in accord with the laws of God, even in a state of mind which is out of accord with His. The strength of right perception is so great that it brings the mind into accord with His, because it yields to His pull, which is in all of you. I think for me, the biggest statements that jump out at me in this paragraph is that the ego always seeks to divide and separate. The Holy Spirit always seeks to unify and heal. And so there are two different thought systems that don't know what each other is talking about. They're irreconcilable. Any thoughts or questions about that paragraph? I also like how it says, healing is the way to undo the belief in differences. So again, differences are of the ego's, you know, separation, because there has to be something separate for you to, you know, see something different. And so healing is a way to undo belief in differences. I'll move on to the next paragraph. To oppose the pull or the will of God is not an ability, but a real delusion. The ego believes that it has this ability and can offer it to you as a gift. You do not want it. It is not a gift. It is nothing at all. God has given you a gift which you both have and are. When you do not use it, you do not know you have it. By not knowing this, you do not know what you are. Healing, then, is a way of approaching knowledge by thinking in accordance with the laws of God and recognizing their universality. Without this recognition, you have made the laws themselves meaningless to you. Yet the laws are not meaningless, since all meaning is contained by them and in them. So this is interesting here with the first sentence. I just want to flip open my Foundation for Inner Peace edition, because I think you can oppose the, yeah, it's a little bit different, and it was edited a bit differently in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. In that book, the sentence reads, to think you can oppose the will of God is a real delusion. I think it's really interesting that this sentence begins, to oppose the pull or the will of God is not an ability, but a real delusion. So to me, that clarifies things a little bit for me in terms of the will of God, because the will of God, the Course talks how this isn't some alien will that's thrust upon us. This is our will. And our mind, this is where our mind naturally, you know, wants to go. So the word or the phrase, the pull of God, you know, it's compelling. Like there's this part of us that seeks to, you know itself again. And so we're actually pulled to remember. And so the ego has to constantly throw things at us to keep us from going with that pull. So enter in then any of our ego problems in this world, whether it be, for me, it was always anxiety, whether it be, you know, conflict or sickness or lack or whatever, you know, problem it is that we are perceiving. It's all ego ploys to keep us from becoming aware that our pull to God is really strong. Go ahead.
Sorry. I don't know if this is appropriate to bring up, but it's something that's been coming up for me quite a bit. So there's this thing that I've been sort of wrestling with, and it's this idea of being spiritual means loving everyone. But sometimes there are certain people who I feel don't make me feel good about myself. And so choosing to stay away from those situations or people sometimes makes me feel like I'm not being loving. And I just wondered if the group would like to share thoughts on this topic, because it's something that I find challenging.
I think the most loving thing you can do is to give yourself space when you, and it's never, I've got a really good example of this, because I have a friend who, I could barely stand to be in her presence, but I am determined to give that to the Holy Spirit, and I have been doing that. And for a couple of years now, it's been challenging whenever she comes into my world, and she always comes back into my world. Well, and again, it's just that willingness, because I don't feel loving when I'm around her a lot of the times. But there's always that willingness, you know, please, Holy Spirit, just shift this somehow. I can't do this. And just recently, for the first time, and I mean a couple of years, she came back to New Jersey, and I spent time with her. Two dinners, like 2 days in a row. And we had the most wonderful time. And I think it was just that willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to help me and her. Because when I am healed, I am not healed alone. Because honestly, her behavior was so much different this time. The vibration between she and I was so much more compatible.
But yeah.
I had to give myself space. Do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah, because what I wrestle with is this idea that I'm not trying to make myself separate from other people, because there is no separation. We're all one energy.
Right.
Yet at the same time, I'm trying not to ignore feelings that come up, especially around certain family members, where I have felt bad about certain things. So I'm trying to find the balance of removing myself to an extent that also a loving relationship.
Can I share some thoughts that are coming up?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't at all want you to feel like I'm putting you on the spot at all. I just feel like you're bringing up such a good question and such a good issue, and I think something that we all struggle with, and I think an idea that is kind of popularized right now in a way that, like, you know, just choose love. Just choose love. Like, okay, you know, great. What about these really, you know, difficult people? So who is the one that's deciding that being spiritual means loving everybody? It's Deidre, right?
Right.
If we're looking at this from, you know, from Deidre's perspective or from Corinne's perspective, there's obviously going to be conflict in this idea. Like, how can I possibly love everybody when I don't feel good around, you know, these certain people? So one of the course quotes that came up for me as you were talking is that, and actually I just read this and I can't think of where it is, but Jesus says in the course, you know, when he said turn the other cheek, it did not mean to submit to violence without protest. It in a sense, turning the other cheek is demonstrating to our brothers that we cannot be hurt, but we might not do this with words or in form.
I think what you're saying is kind of what I've been doing in the last year or more, I would say. It's just this thing that keeps coming up that makes me wonder if I'm handling it in the most loving way.
Right, right.
I know that I feel better about myself having the distance, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not suggesting that there is no relationship between me and these other people. There is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just simply shifted
right,
to something
right.
different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I want to say from the get-go is that there's nothing anywhere that says that we have to put ourselves into situations that make us uncomfortable. And at the same time, I'm going to use your name, and I'm going to use my name too. You, as Deidre, can't love everybody. Like, being spiritual, just that first sentence that you said, being spiritual means loving everyone. You, as Deidre, can't love everyone. I, as Corinne, can't love everyone, because when I'm identified with Corinne, I'm identified with my ego. That love for everyone comes, you know, through us as we're willing to hand our perceptions and our thoughts and our feelings about how these people make us feel to the Holy Spirit to be retranslated for us. So the best I think that I can say is that you don't have to worry about loving everyone. Thank goodness. All you have to do is be exactly where you're at. If it feels right to, you know, remove yourself from the situation, do it, and bring everything that is coming up for you to the Holy Spirit in the process. So even the struggle,
yeah,
you know, the feeling.
I...
Yeah, yeah, I know that this is what you're doing. And even the feeling of, like, feeling conflict over this idea, that's something to bring to the Holy Spirit too, to ask to be shown, you know, what it really means to love everybody, because the Course is very clear. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to forgive. We don't know how to choose for God. It's our choice for the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit makes that choice for us. So
it's
remembering, you know, that we're not the ones loving everybody, or we're not the ones you know, doing the forgiving. We're letting the Holy Spirit, we're choosing for the Holy Spirit to do that for us, because if we think, again, it kind of goes back to what Paul said, if we think we know how, we're probably going to trip and stub our toes, you know, along the way. So I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that was just what was coming up for me.
I wish like hell you'd write that down and send it to me, because that was perfect.
Well, that's why we record the call, because we all say things that are like, I wish I could write that down. So, you know, we can always re-listen to this, and I'll need to re-listen to this, because anything that, you know, I'm sharing is something that I need to learn. So, it's always about, and that's where we want to make this so much harder than it is in a lot of cases, just where the Course says, you know, you're asked to do so little and the ego finds this insulting, that really it is as simple as constantly choosing for the Holy Spirit. We then let the Holy Spirit choose for forgiveness. We then let the Holy Spirit choose, you know, to love everybody
I think what you just said, Corinne, just really helped confirm for me that I've been doing what I need to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, good.
So...
One of the really powerful things that's coming up in two pages, and I was just reading this today, is it's all about healing others and how to heal others. The message is always for us first, but I was just jumping out of my seat reading this because, so it's coming up. We'll get to it. Probably not this week, but maybe next week. And I heard a little kitty.
I'll put it on. She's really enjoying
it. No, it's okay.
She's hooked into this tonight. Boy, I'm telling you. Listen, this one line here, though, is really the way he does it, because it says, as you heal, you are healed, because the Holy Spirit sees no order of healing. And that just really strikes me, because, you know, there does seem to be an awful order of difficulty in the whole conflict in the human condition. And he sees no order of healing.
No order.
So it doesn't matter how convoluted, how crazy it all seems to us, to Paula, when I bring the Holy Spirit into it, he hasn't got a problem.
Can I
share
a quick story?
He doesn't see any order of healing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, can I share a quick story that just came up for me? You all might remember around before the 4th of July, I shared that a family member of mine was coming into town, and my ego was just coming out because I was just anticipating how awful the weekend was going to be and how challenging and stressful and emotional the whole experience was going to be because this relative visiting. And it's just a perfect example for, when we choose for the Holy Spirit and, again, decide that we don't know and that there's no order of difficulty in healing, I could never have said or done anything to help this person. That's just the nature of our relationship. If it's coming out of my mouth, it's going to be misunderstood and, there'll be some sort of big blow up. And so I just learned to, instead of, lashing back or, saying certain things, I've just been consistent with taking this to the Holy Spirit. So the same thing happened with this trip, with this visit over the 4th of July weekend. And like I said, my ego was out before the trip. And when this person arrived, for the 4 days that they were here, it was the most healing and wonderful experience that I never in a million years would have guessed or anticipated. The transformation that happened between the two of us was just, it almost moves me to tears because it's like I felt like I had a new best friend. The connection was, reconnecting was that deep. And there were lots of apologies and just lots and lots of healing. And that's where this idea, as we'll move forward, and again, getting to the point that I referenced about healing others, it's all about just being willing to see the Holy Spirit in them. So it doesn't mean that if, it's a challenging situation or person that we don't like to be around, it doesn't mean we have to force ourselves to be around them. It simply is about being willing to allow the Holy Spirit in us to join with the Holy Spirit in that other person. And that
thank you so much for sharing that, because you just confirmed the guidance that I've been receiving for myself, which is do nothing and keep doing what I'm doing and not to worry about other people.
Yeah.
Because I keep getting, do nothing, say nothing with these situations that I've been describing. And sometimes that is challenging because the ego wants to get in there and be like, oh, but if you just explain this or do this or whatever it is, right? The ego dialogue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was just total confirmation for me that I'm on the right path.
Awesome.
So thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad it just popped into my head, so I'm glad that it confirmed exactly what you're doing. That is awesome. It's nice to have that confirmation, and it's just nice to know, that even if we don't immediately see those effects of our choice, for the Holy Spirit, that they're coming, and even if we don't see them, it doesn't mean that they're not there. So
well, and my intuition keeps telling me that there's healing that's going on, even though it might appear differently than what I might expect it to be.
Right.
But I still have that sense. My intuition keeps telling me this. And sometimes, I've really only in this lifetime, I've had many, many past lives of being intuitive and doing intuitive work, but I've really only come into this in the last year and a half in this lifetime. So there's a lot of, when you're new at trusting your intuition, your ego wants to get in there and be like, oh, but your intuition's wrong.
Right.
So it's just always nice to get that confirmation, and I really got it clear as well.
That's awesome. Awesome. And I'm just thinking back, too. I think this was before we started recording the call today when you said, because last week our call was canceled because of an obligation that I had, like I shared, and, that intuition that popped in your head within minutes of the call starting that, there wasn't a call. That's just so cool.
Yeah, it's only because I've been really, I really consider the work that I'm doing my calling.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more, you know, I'm really in the process of just allowing myself to be that open vessel. And that's why the intuitive messages are, come so clear, is because I'm willing. And it's the whole theme of what we're talking about all the time with the Course is just being willing.
Beautiful.
So there's no separation or difference between any one of us here on the call tuning into their intuitive abilities.
Right, absolutely. It's awesome, too, to hear you say that, because, again, and I'm sorry to keep jumping forward into what we're going to be reading versus what we're reading tonight, but what you just said popped into my head, too, because it talks later on about how when the healer thinks they have something special that others don't, you know, that's a mistake, essentially, that, you know, any ability that that healer has is an ability in all, and that's exactly what you just said, that, you know, you have an ability.
Well, it's all, it all comes from God.
Yeah,
it all comes
awesome.
From God, and because we all come from God, we all have the same healing ability. It's just whether or not we choose to use it.
Right. Awesome. Let's read the next paragraph. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, because that is where the laws of God operate truly, and they can operate only truly, since they are the laws of truth. But seek this only because you can find nothing else. There is nothing else. God is all in all, in a very literal sense. All being is in him who is all being. You are therefore in him, since your being is his. Healing is a way of forgetting the sense of danger the ego has induced in you by not recognizing its existence in your brothers. In other words, by not recognizing the ego's existence in your brothers. This strengthens the Holy Spirit in both of you because it is a refusal to acknowledge fear. Love needs only this invitation. It comes freely to all the sonship, being what the sonship is. By your awakening to it, you are merely forgetting what you are not. This enables you to remember who you are, what you are, I'm sorry. This enables you to remember what you are. And I'll pause there. Anything come up for anybody in this paragraph? I'll share that sentence. Healing is a way of forgetting the sense of danger the ego has induced in you by not recognizing its existence in your brothers.
What came up for me right there, and it was just like a little flash in my mind, is, yeah, but I can't let him get away with that. Isn't that cool? That's the ego.
That's the ego, yep.
The ego. Yeah, but I can't let him get away with that. Oh.
That's so
funny. That thought is what causes all the problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a little experience today at work with that.
Uh-huh.
And I decided right in the middle of it that I was going to let him get away with that.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to cooperate. And it really turned out very well.
Wow.
Okay.
That's cool. That is really cool. Thank you for sharing that, because that little voice is, you know, it's so important to be mindful of that tiny little voice and then to say, okay, Holy Spirit, here you go, because the Course says that as long as we're here in these bodies, the ego will always speak first. And so, you know, it's about, I mean, that obviously I think it gets easier as we keep practicing this, but, you know.
But you know, I mean, reading something lovely like this, I mean, just reading something lovely like this, and then then hearing that voice slip right in the middle of it, was really cool.
Uh-huh.
It's becoming aware of that.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That awareness is so key and so important. And then that sentence with healing is a way of forgetting the sense of danger the ego has induced in you by not recognizing its existence in your brothers. Now I'm hearing that little voice. It's so funny. You know, not recognizing the ego in your brothers, this strengthens the Holy Spirit in both of you because it's a refusal to acknowledge fear.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to this idea, you know, when you're healed, you're not healed alone. And this is how we learn how to heal ourselves and heal others, by our refusal to side and see, you know, the ego in our brothers. And of course, as Corinne, you know, as insert your name, you know, as us, we're going to see another person's ego. It's our willingness, again, to turn to the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit in us to join with them, that enables us to see that Holy Spirit in another. Or even just, more simply stated, even just our willingness to see the Holy Spirit in ourselves, we see it in others. Ah. Okay, so any other thoughts or comments or questions so far? We can keep going and start the next section, which is actually kind of long. We'll go for it. So the next section is called Healing and the Changelessness of Mind. By the way, I'm not sure what paragraph, but I know there is a paragraph that doesn't appear in the Foundation for Inner Peace. So if you're following along, and I think it's coming up, actually. If you're following along and I'm reading something that you know, don't have, just hang in there for a paragraph and it should sync back up. Healing and the Changelessness of Mind. The body is nothing more than a framework for developing abilities. It is therefore a means for developing potentials, which is quite apart from what the potential is used for. That is a decision. The effects of the ego's decision in this matter are so apparent that they need no elaboration here, but the Holy Spirit's decision to use the body only for communication has such a direct connection with healing that it does need clarification. The unhealed healer obviously does not understand his own vocation. I'm going to just keep reading. Only minds communicate. Since the ego cannot obliterate the impulse to communicate, because it is also the impulse to create, the ego can only teach you that the body can both communicate and create, and therefore does not need the mind. The ego thus tries to teach you that the body can act like the mind and is therefore self-sufficient. Yet we have learned that behavior is not the level for either teaching or learning. This must be so, since you can act in accordance with what you do not believe. To do this, however, will weaken you as teachers and learners because, as has been repeatedly emphasized, you teach what you do believe. An inconsistent lesson will be poorly taught and poorly learned. If you teach both sickness and healing, you are both a poor teacher and a poor learner. As we were reading this, one of the things that came up that jumped into my head about our conversation, Deidre, when you shared, you know, just about that struggle with, you know, being spiritual means loving everybody, this sentence to me spoke to that, you know, where it says in the middle of the paragraph, yet we have learned that behavior is not the level for either teaching or learning. So I know, you know, that you said that everything that we talked about, you know, was confirmation for what you've already been doing. So this sentence to me says, you know, it's not about our behaviors. It's not about, you know, forcing us to be with, you know, a person who we don't want to be around or anything like that. You know, fixing our behavior is not going to heal our mind. So that just popped into my head about our earlier conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting too, where did it go? The ego thus tries to teach you that the body can act like the mind and is therefore self-sufficient. The ego wants self-sufficiency. It wants complete and utter self-sufficiency, and it wants to just forget about God. And in reality, we are completely dependent on God, and because we are of God, and so that just jumped out to me as well.
Mm.
Other thoughts about this paragraph?
The ego thus tries to teach you that the body can act like the mind and is therefore self-sufficient. That's really...
I think
on some level we all know that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work, and yet for years I was just seeking for a better way, because I just knew that wasn't the truth.
Mm-hmm. Deidre, were you going to add?
Oh, I was just thinking that sentence made me feel or think of, like, say when you feel a pain in your body and you focus on the pain that's in your body, and it's like all that exists is that pain, but that's not the truth.
Right, it's calling our attention. It seems to be really strong and capturing our attention, but it's actually, not true. That sentence, just what comes up for me is just everything that the ego, where it says the ego can only teach you that the body can both communicate and create. So the Course is saying that the body can't communicate. The body is a communication device, that's how the only purpose that the Holy Spirit gives to it. But it's our minds that are actually communicating, not the actual body. But, because we believe in these bodies and have them right now, body is a means of communication. But here it's saying that the ego is adding, beyond that it can act just like the mind. It can create, it can communicate, it can do all these fantastic things, so we don't need, the mind, the deeper part of our mind. We can just forget about that. That's the ego's agenda. And it's interesting here, because what comes up for me, if it says, if you teach both sickness and healing, you're both a poor teacher and poor learner. So the sentence before talks about inconsistent lessons will be poorly taught and poorly learned. What comes up for me, and again, I'm saying this with an awareness that you have to be where you're at, and I have to be where I'm at. I still put belief in magic, in vitamins, in, eating right, and fill in the blank of whatever it may be. And what is that doing? Number one, I'm allowing myself to be where I'm at, but it's also saying that something outside of myself has the power to help me or heal me. And so that, however, is actually, in a sense, a lesson in sickness, in that it is saying, if something outside of myself, like a pill or the right food, can heal my body, I'm still reinforcing this idea that I am a body, versus what the Course is actually saying and teaching, is that, we aren't, and that nothing outside of ourselves can make us ill or well. So I just throw that out there because that came to mind.
Something that helps me when I remember to do it, which is not all the time, but when I'm eating, I'll often, before I begin eating, ask my angels and guides to help whatever food I'm ingesting to nourish my mind, my body, and my spirit.
Mm.
And it puts a different energy behind just letting the food that you eat be a bodily function. That just came to mind when you were talking about vitamins and something outside of yourself being used to heal you, because we are supposed to live, an earthly life to an extent, because we chose to come here to evolve and grow. But that's one thing that I do that helps me. I don't know if it's useful.
Could you please just repeat that again? Ask the angels to what?
Before you start eating. Before I start eating, I ask my angels and guides to, and you can use whatever words that you want, but I ask them to allow the food that I'm intaking into my body to nourish my mind, my body, and my spirit. And I'll often ask that the angels bless my food and make it, help it be as high vibrating as possible.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Thank you.
And I mean, there is something behind, you know, what we put in our bodies. Because as an intuitive healer, I've been guided towards eating a certain way. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, we all have different metabolisms and everything, but there is something behind high energy spiritual food versus low energy food. There is definitely something there, and that's guidance that I've received from my angels.
Thank you.
So there is some truth to what you're saying.
Thank you
for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I'll say too, though, and this might sound a little bit different because I was having this conversation with a friend of mine recently, that if it were true, it would be true all the time. So if, you know, and I'm not arguing with the guidance that you received, Deidre, at all. I think it's beautiful, and I think it's great. This is just an example of the sort of inconsistencies on this level of form. Kale is supposed to be really healthy for us, right? It's a dark green leafy vegetable, and it's actually been causing me a health problem, not even from eating too much of it. It's something that I just think I ultimately might be allergic to. I'm not exactly sure, but it just came forward for me with the whole thought, and I don't want to veer off too much into nutrition because I would like to at least read one more paragraph before we're done, but that idea of if it were true, it would be true all the time. So look at how funny it is that, you know, kale is thought to be alkalizing, and it's supposed to, you know, make our body more alkaline, and when I eat it, it makes me horribly acidic to the point where it actually causes some pain. So,
oh, no, we all definitely do have different metabolisms.
Yeah, so it's just interesting that if it were true, it would be true all the time, and so, you know, anyway, that's that, so. Were you going to say something more?
No.
Okay, great. Okay, let's do one more paragraph. We have just a couple more minutes. Healing is the one ability which everyone can develop and must develop if he is to be healed. Healing is the Holy Spirit's form of communication and the only one he knows. He recognizes no other because he does not accept the ego's confusion of mind and body. Minds can communicate, but they cannot hurt. The body in service of the ego can hurt other bodies, but this cannot occur unless the body has already been confused with the mind. This fact, too, can be used either for healing or for magic, but you must remember that magic is always the belief that healing is harmful. This is its totally insane premise, and so it proceeds accordingly. I'm going to actually dive right in and read the next paragraph, too. Healing only strengthens. Magic always tries to weaken. Healing perceives nothing in the healer that everyone else does not share with him. Magic always sees something special in the healer, which he believes he can offer as a gift to someone who does not have it. He may believe that the gift comes from God to him, but it is quite evident that he does not understand God if he thinks he has something that others lack. You might well ask, then, why some healing can result from this kind of thinking, and there is a reason for this. Now I feel like I need to read the next paragraph, too. I'll do that, then I'll end there, and we can always revisit this next week. So there's a reason for this. However misguided the magical healer may be, he is also trying to help. He is conflicted and unstable, but at times he is offering something to the sonship, and the only thing the sonship can accept is healing. When the so-called healing works, then the impulse to help and to be helped have coincided. This is coincidental because the healer may not be experiencing himself as truly helpful at the time, but the belief that he is in the mind of another helps him. So that was a lot in reading three paragraphs at once, but I just thought it was pretty interesting. I wanted to, that was the paragraph that I referenced earlier about, you know, it's how we said it's all of God, that if we think we have something that another doesn't and we need to bestow it on another, we certainly don't understand God because it's all for all. And then the little explanation that follows about why, if there is, you know, a magical healer, you know, if they're still misguided, why at times are there still healings? And so that's where this little explanation comes in, because, and I think this might be the paragraph that was omitted from the FIP edition. It explains why.
One thing that it comes up for me with these two, because I think there was a quote about I'm not going to get it right again, but it was like, you can't be an efficient healer if you're both sick and trying to heal, or something along those lines. And it's, at least for me, I don't consider myself 100% healed by any stretch of the imagination. So in a way, it's kind of, these paragraphs sort of are comforting in that it's all about willingness again. It's all about willingness to receive and experience the healing. Because if we all waited until we were healed, quoting Gabby Bernstein here, but there nothing would happen. We just, you know, we wouldn't be sharing experiences. We'd just be sitting around waiting for healing to happen. And
yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts or comments or questions come up in those paragraphs that we just read, or comments just in general? Well, it sounds like we might be good. We actually are at the top of the hour. I saw that. Oh, I know a few people just came off mute, so if anybody wants to share anything, please jump in. And if not, we will resume as usual next week.
Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. It was
Have
wonderful.
A good night.
Have a great week.
You too. Bye, everyone.
Bye.